So have you ever gone out and pulled weeds before? Isn't that one of the most exciting things you can ever do with your day, is to go outside and pull weeds? When I was a kid, I hated pulling weeds, so I grew up, and as an adult, I hate pulling weeds. It's no fun. But you go out when you're a kid and you just start yanking the things out of the ground because you want to get the job done. But my dad had to slow me down and say, son, you can't just go over there and yank the thing. What do you got to do? You got to get down there at the base and you need to pull that thing out by the roots. Because if you're just going to yank it, son, we're going to be back out here tomorrow pulling these things again. Had to learn about those roots that were on the bottom of those weeds that we needed to get the whole thing out. You know, when Jesus told the parable of the soils in Matthew chapter 13, He talked about four different kinds of soil, but one of them He called the stony or the rocky soil. He talked about that stony soil where the sower went out and spread seed. And do you know what Jesus said about that stony soil? That there was soil there, and that seed went on that stony soil, and immediately something sprang up. But it didn't have any depth of earth to it. And so when the sun came out, what happened to that thing that had sprung up? Oh, it was scorched. What was the application that Jesus made out of that? He said, some people have hearts like that. Some people have hearts that don't have a whole lot of depth to them. And they hear the Word of God and they respond very quickly to the Word of God and spring into action in obedience to it. But Jesus said, as soon as difficulties, as soon as tribulations, persecutions, as soon as temptations arise, Jesus said, they stumble and they fall away. Can I ask you this morning, how deep is your soil? How deep does the Word of God root into your soul? You know, you go out and pull those weeds. And sometimes I loved finding the easy ones. I loved finding the little ones, but you know, I'd go and I could pull those all day. I could pull those out, no problem pulling out the easy ones. And then sometimes there were those vines that were growing up the side of those pine trees in our yard. And sometimes those vines, Grayson, were poison ivy vines growing all the way up those pine trees. And sometimes those vines sometimes the diameter was as thick as a quarter because we hadn't pulled them in a while. But you go over and try pulling those out, and those were tough. So I'd go back to the easy ones again. And then I'd come across one of those little palm saplings. You know what I'm talking about? You got all of these weeds out there, and they're pretty easy. And you get over this little palm sapling, this little palm tree, you're like, oh, you're nothing. You ever tried to pull one of those little baby palm trees out of the ground? All of a sudden, you're wrapping your hand around that thing and you're tugging with all that you can because that little palm tree hadn't been there very long, but it all of a sudden started to spread out its little roots to where it wasn't going to give up very easily. How deep do your roots go into the Word of God? That's what I want us to talk about this morning. As our theme for this year, our theme has been Press On. And each month we have a different theme to emphasize how we as Christians can press on in our service and our walk with the Lord. And what we want to talk about this morning is our need, all of us, our need to press on to deeper knowledge and deeper faith in Christ. How deep is your faith? How deep is your knowledge in the Word of God? You know, the Bible says, Jesus said that difficulties, trials, tribulations, persecutions, temptations are going to come. And there was that rocky soil that the roots didn't go very deep. And what happened? It didn't last very long. How deep are your roots? Do they get down into your soul so that you can hang on when those difficult times come? This morning, I want us to take that word deep. And I want us to go to Colossians chapter 2, and I want to encourage you to get your Bibles and look in Colossians 2. We're going to look at the first few verses of this chapter and try to see what can we learn about our need to press on to deeper knowledge, to deeper faith in Christ. And I hope you'll look at these verses because they teach us what we need to know about having a deep faith, about having a deep knowledge inside the Word of God. But the first thing we're going to see this morning is that for our faith to be deep, we've got to have a desire. We've got to have, every Christian needs to have a desire to have a deep knowledge. You're not going to have it if you don't want it. Your roots aren't going to go very deep if you don't desire it for yourself. How do we learn that from this passage? Look in the first couple verses. Look in verse 2, where the Bible says that we need to have a desire that when we come to the Word of God, we can attain true knowledge. And when we come here, I can obtain the knowledge that God wants me to have. He uses the word mystery, of God's plan from the very beginning. How deep does do your roots go into the true knowledge that God wants you to have? And that's what he's talking about in verse 3, when he says we can attain all of the wisdom and all of the riches of the knowledge of Christ. Do you desire that? Do you want to obtain everything that you can, know everything that you can about the Word of God? When he talks about the understanding that we can have a full, in verse 2, the full assurance of understanding, we need to be able to know that we know what we know. We need to be able to have confidence in what we know, have confidence in what we believe. Do you desire that? When people come and ask you a question about the Bible, do you have a desire to be able to know what you know and to be able to be confident that you know it? And that you're able to stand where God wants you to stand. How deep do your roots go? In order to have deep roots, you've got to have a desire for those deep roots. One passage outside of the book of Colossians I want to share with you is in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, where God tells us as newborn babes. Why does he use that? Because as Christians, we become children of God, and we are babes in Christ. But he likens that to a little baby who's thirsty, who's hungry. You ever heard a little baby who got thirsty or hungry? Were they content to be thirsty or hungry? Could they say, well, I'll just wait until it's a better time for me to be thirsty? No, then when they're thirsty, they want it right now. And so God says, as newborn babes, crave, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Do you crave it? Do you desire it that much? Brother and sister in Christ, if our roots are going to grow deep, we've got to desire for them to grow deep. But the second thing I want us to see in Colossians chapter 2 is that not only do we need to desire it, we need to understand that this is the expectation of God. God expects you to get inside of His Word, and He expects you to have your faith grow deeper and deeper, and your knowledge to grow deeper and deeper. How do we get that? From Colossians chapter 2. Look in verse 5 and look in verse 7, where the Bible says that God wants us to have a steadfast faith. He wants our faith to be something that we can hold on to steadfastly and be unshakable in our faith. That's what he wants in verse 5. Look at four things in verse 7 that he wants for our faith. He wants it to be firmly rooted. That's what he wants for your faith, to be firmly rooted. The Greek language uses the perfect tense there, which indicates that you got rooted in the past, and God wants you to be rooted right now, and he doesn't want you to be moved away. He doesn't want you to change. He doesn't want you to give up on your faith. But not only deeply and firmly rooted, verse 7 says that he wants you to be built up in the faith. And there it's the present tense, meaning to be continually building your knowledge. The more we know about the Word of God, the more we're able to grow inside the Word of God. But not just deeply rooted, not just built up. What else does he say? He wants us to be established in our faith. Again, a present tense verb that says this needs to continually be going on in your life. You need to be firmly established and become stronger and stronger in your faith till the end of verse 7, so that you can just overflow with thanksgiving. So that you can overflow with gratitude for the faith that you have, for the faith of the Word of God that He's given to us. Do you understand God's expectations for you? If you're a child of God today, if you're not deepening your faith, you're not fulfilling what God wants from us. His expectation is for His children to get inside of His Word. And that's why the last verse of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you growing in it? We had our promotion Sunday this morning during our Bible class hour. And it's that time where we spend time focusing on our children especially. And it's that time where we are promoting them to their next grade where they will be in our Bible classes. And I hope you're bringing your children to Bible classes because there they are able to grow in their knowledge of the Word of God. They're able to grow in their faith in Jesus Christ. And as a part of that promotion Sunday, we talk about the need to grow as Jesus did in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. As a part of that promotion Sunday, we give all of those children, kindergarten through 12th grade, a book to take with them to help them to study the Bible, to help them to grow in their love and knowledge and faith in God. Why? Because that's what God's expectations of us are. As Christians, He's not looking for us just to sit back. Say, well, I already know enough. He wants our roots to go deeper and deeper. When we think about pressing on to deeper knowledge and faith, where are we in that? Do we understand that as a Christian, this is something that's just absolutely essential that we do it? Not only do we need to desire it, not only do we need to understand that God commands it of us, He expects it of us, but as Christians, what if we don't do this? What if we don't grow as God wants us to do? We need to see the essentiality of it. Look in chapter 1 and verse 23, where he says, "Indeed, if you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast in it, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel." It's essential that our roots go deeper and deeper in the Word of God so that we're not moved away from the Word of God. How do people lose their faith? How do people fall away from the Lord? Why is it that people leave the Lord's church? Chapter 1 and verse 23 just told us. Because they have not been grounded. They have not continued in. They have not allowed their roots to go deeper and deeper in the Word of God. But not just that they're not being moved away. Chapter 2 and verse 4 says that God doesn't want any of us to be deceived by persuasive words or persuasive arguments. People are going to come along and try to convince you of all sorts of untruths. Well, how do I determine what's true and what's false? I pick up God's Word. I pick up God's book. And it shows me what's right. It shows me what's wrong. That's why it's essential for me to allow the Word of God to penetrate into my heart and to allow the Word of God to grow deeper and deeper inside of me so that I'm not deceived. Chapter 2 and verse 8, so that I don't lose my faith. He says in verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you." If we don't allow the Word of God to grow deeper inside of our hearts, we're going to be led astray. People are going to come along with their human traditions. People are going to come along with their human doctrines. And we will continue to be, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, we'll continue to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, carried about. Why? Because our faith has not been grounded and rooted inside of our soul. When we pick up God's Word, 1 John chapter 4 tells us to test every teacher that we hear. You need to test everybody who ever talks to you about the Bible. That's what 1 John 4 and verse 1 says. And then the next five verses say, here's how you can test it. And then he says in verse 6, here's how we know the spirit of truth, the teacher of truth, and the spirit of error. How do we know? We pick up the Bible and we compare what the Bible says to somebody else. How deep is your faith and your knowledge in the Word of God to be able to tell when somebody is telling you a falsehood? When it comes to God's Word, we need to encourage our young people to set apart, to sanctify Christ. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, to sanctify Christ as the Lord of their hearts. And when you do that, you'll get in this book and strive in every way to be ready to give a defense. How deep is your faith today? How much deeper could it be? How strong is your knowledge of the Word of God? How much stronger could it be? As we look at this word deep, we need to understand that when we allow our faith and our knowledge to grow deeper and deeper, that God does have a prize. Do you like prizes? God does have a prize for those who allow their faith to be rooted in Him. Go to chapter 2 and verse 18. And in chapter 2 and verse 18, In some translations it says, don't let someone cheat you of your reward. Other translations say, don't let someone cheat you of your prize. There's the word. If we do not deepen our faith, if we don't spend time inside this book, somebody can come along and take our prize away from us. That's what chapter 2, verse 18 says. Someone can come along and take our reward away from us. Well, what kind of reward? Well, look at this passage. In that text of chapter 2 and verse 19, it says we need to grow with the increase that comes from God. That's a prize. That's a reward that I get, is that as I get into the Word of God, God gives me increase. I'm not doing this on my own. God is helping me to grow. And as He's helping me to grow, go back to chapter 2 and verse 2. There's an interdependence that's happening here where our hearts, when we're doing this together, our hearts are being encouraged and knit together. As I'm growing, chapter 1 and verse 27 says that Christ is getting inside of me. And when Christ is in you, chapter 1 and verse 27 says that's your hope. You don't have any hope if Christ is not in you. But as you deepen your faith, you've got the hope of glory. And so in chapter 1 and verse 28, Paul says, Him we preach, Christ we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, that we may present every man perfect, complete in Christ. When? At the day of judgment. Are you ready today to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment? Do you feel like your faith and your knowledge is complete so that you are prepared to stand before Christ on the day of judgment? That's a prize. That's a reward that can be ours if we'll deepen our faith in Him. And so Paul uses that word prize over in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 14 is where he uses that word. But you back up in that chapter and he says, I am pressing on. That's our theme for this year. He says, I'm pressing on that I might gain Christ, that I might be found in Christ, that I might know Christ, that I might be prepared for the resurrection from the dead, that I might be ready to meet my Lord. Paul says, I press on. Where are you today? Where are you today in your faith and in your knowledge? And what is there today that you need to be doing personally to increase your faith, to increase your knowledge? This is not just some kind of an academic exercise. This isn't just some topic for the preacher to get up and to talk about. This is absolutely critical to every single one of us as children of God. God is looking for us to deepen our faith and our knowledge in Him. As you think about that this morning, I want to go back and I want you to think about those trees and their root systems. There are some trees that are able to develop, they're able to put down root systems that help to stabilize them against all sorts of forces that would come against them. And there's trees that are able to put down these root systems that help them on their own to be strong and to be able to stand strong. As I think about those kind of trees, I'm reminded of driving out to Okeechobee. And you get past Indian Town and you go on that nice two-lane highway headed out to Okeechobee. And you're just passing fields and fields and fields and fields, and there's cows and cows and cows in those fields. But you're passing wide open fields. But it's amazed me in driving out there that as you drive through these fields where there's nothing in these fields, that there's just this random palm tree right in the middle of this field. Nothing else around, but this just palm tree standing there by itself. What's it doing there? There's nobody else around. There's nothing close to it. It's just there all by itself. What's happened? It's got a root system that it's put down. That while everything else around it apparently hasn't survived, it's just standing there, able to stand strong on its own. Palm trees have interesting root systems, different than a lot of other trees that you're going to meet. That's why they're able to stand up against hurricanes and storms. They're able to put their roots down in such a way that they stay strong. But then there's a different kind of tree. There's other trees that it's not their root systems itself that is keeping them strong. It's the fact that they are in a grove, that they're in an area where they have other trees that are helping them to remain strong. It was amazing to me as a child to go out and see the sequoia trees out in California. To see those great trees that some of them stand 300 feet high. 300 feet tall. Statue of Liberty isn't even that tall. 300 feet tall on a tree. Some of those trees are 30 and 35 feet wide. You look at some of these pews, these long pews, they're not even 30 or 35 feet wide. Halfway down this aisle is not even 30 or 35. 35 feet wide. Weigh 2 million pounds. You would think they've got a root system that just digs miles down into the ground in order to support their weight. They don't. Their root systems are very shallow for that kind of tree. So how does that big old tree stand up and not fall over? It's next to another tree. That's next to another tree. That's next to another tree. And all of their roots are intertwined together. And all of their limbs are intertwined together. And the trees are holding themselves up together. Let me ask you, which one of these trees do you think God expects us to be? What kind of root systems? When we talk about our roots getting deeper inside the Word of God and our knowledge and our faith getting deeper inside of Christ, which one of these trees do you think God expects Christians to be? The ones that are able to stand strong on their own, or the ones who need each other to remain strong? It's not either or. It's both. God is looking for you to have roots that will deepen inside the Word of God so that no matter what storms come into your life, you're able to stand strong against them. And yet, He wants you to put your arm around your brother and sister in Christ and to help deepen their faith and increase their knowledge so that we can all stand stronger together. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about some things that we can do on both of those levels. What can we do individually? And then what can we do collectively together to encourage each other in our faith and knowledge? First of all, what can we do individually? How can I focus on me and my faith? How can I help my faith to grow deeper and deeper inside the Word of God? There's a lot of things we could talk about here. Let me just make a few suggestions to you. Number one, first and foremost, brother and sister in Christ, we got to read the Bible. There's no shortcut to this. There's no cliff notes. I'll take a pill and in the morning I'll have a brand new knowledge of the Word of God. I wish there was such a pill. I'd buy all of them that I could. There's no such pill. It's old fashioned. Get inside the book and let the book get inside of you. Spend time with the Word of God. That's the only way you're going to deepen your knowledge. That's the only way you're going to deepen your faith. But as you do that, there are a number of resources that can be so helpful to you. There are a number of, and I'm going to use the expression in this, talking about those things that are sound and faithful, various resources that we can use that are true to the Word of God. But there are some websites. There are some websites that are tremendously helpful to you. If you don't frequently go to Apologetics Press and Christian Courier and House to House, Heart to Heart, those are three websites that are outstanding in their content to help us to grow in our faith. Every one of the tracks that we put out here from House to House, plus hundreds more because we don't have all of their tracks, every single track that House to House, Heart to Heart's ever printed is on their website for you to read, free of charge. You want to deepen your faith? Find these websites that can help us in that regard. Find those podcasts, find those blogs that are done by faithful brothers in Christ that you can listen to, that you can subscribe to, that can help you to deepen your faith in the Word of God. Find those publications that can be delivered to your home. Yes, old-fashioned delivery, snail mail into your home. Spiritual Sword comes out quarterly. Outstanding publication. You ought to subscribe to it. It's only $8 a year. Gospel Advocate comes out monthly. Outstanding publication, costs like $17 a year. Go to their websites and subscribe to them and build your faith. Reason and Revelation from Apologetics Press. Go to Apologetics Press and sign up for their weekly update, email updates. They'll send you an email every week with about two or three articles that are on their site. Build our faith. Get our root system down deeper and deeper inside the Word of God. Find those brothers who are putting sermons online and listen to them. Watch them. Phil Sanders preaches every Sunday morning in search of the Lord's way. Set your recorder to record that, 7 o'clock, every Sunday morning. Go to their website, searchtv.org or .com, whichever one it is. They've got all of their lessons there. Go and watch them. Do this, put these things on in the background as you're working, and allow that just to kind of subconsciously penetrate your soul. Find other means by which you can purchase some books. I know it's old-fashioned to buy books, so don't go in my office if you don't want books. But it's old-fashioned, but find books. And that's why we give these books to the kids, so that, as Josh said this morning, so that when they graduate from high school, they've got a small library they're taking with them to enrich their faith and to deepen their knowledge in the Word of God. Find faithful brotherhood publishers like some of these that are listed on the screen. Be able to go and find things that you can read to encourage you and to continue to increase your faith. I would encourage you to find special lectureships, special events that you can attend. The one that I think is the best thing, the best event the Brotherhood has going on right now is called Polishing the Pulpit. It's got a funny name, I'll admit that. You think polishing the pulpit, what are you going to use? You got to take a bottle of Pledge? I mean, what do you mean polishing the pulpit? Well, this started 25 years ago. And it started with about three or four preachers that got together one weekend to share sermon ideas. And then they did it the next year. The next year they added a couple more preachers. And the next year a couple more preachers. And then they brought in some preachers to talk to them. They brought in men like Tom Holland and Wendell Winkler to talk to them about preaching and to encourage them. And you got dozens of preachers that started getting together. You got hundreds of preachers that started getting together on these weekends. And then they said, well, what if we had classes for our wives when they come? So they have ladies' classes. What if we have classes for elders? And so they started having elders' class. What if we had classes for deacons? What if we had classes for members? Well, we need to have classes for children. And so now in August, in Sevierville, Tennessee, last year, over 5,000 New Testament Christians gathered on this week at that event center to feast on the Word of God. I know some of you are planning to go this year. Don't let the name fool you into thinking you've got to go up there and polish the pulpit. That's just the name of it. It is the best feast on God's Word that our brotherhood's got going on right now. I would encourage you to figure out a way to get up there at some point in your life to be a part of it. As you continue to think of other things that we can do, I don't even have time to talk about writing verses out and posting them around you. That's what the Israelites were told to do in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Put them on your doorpost, put them on your mirrors, put them everywhere you can. Let the Word of God surround you and be a part of your life. How do we do that? We've got to take the time. We've got to make it a priority. We've got to say, I want to develop my faith, and to develop my faith, I've got to have some good personal study habits. But can I encourage you to utilize a number of the tools that this congregation provides for you? There's a track rack out there that we've got some members here that keep that track rack full. Outstanding materials that are out there for you to take and to read and to, after you've read it, to share it with somebody else. There's all sorts of materials that we put out in the lobby for us to take and to use and to read so that we can increase our faith. Do you know that we have a church library? I think about two people here know that we have a church library where there's books that you can go and sit down and read there and study there. You can check them out. Most of them have a card in the back. Don't walk in there and just take a book out. You need to check it out, but you can go and check a book out and take it home and use it and study it. If you don't know where it is, it's back in the office area. And if you don't know where that is, ask somebody around you and they'll show you. But what I think what this congregation has that's better than any other church anywhere, and I know I'm biased, but I'm also honest. What I believe this church has that is better than anything else on earth that anybody else has is our website. Our website is content heavy. It's not there to look pretty. It's there to feed. It looks pretty. Don't get me wrong. It looks pretty. But it's there to feed you. You will not find another. I don't believe you're going to find another church website that has as much on it as our church website has. You say, okay, how much does it have? So I asked Cindy on Thursday. There are 3,091 lessons on our website. Sermons, Bible classes, gospel meetings, lectureships. 3,091. How many? So if you started playing, it was 86 days complete, right? So if you just start it today and play everything that's on our website, it's going to take you 86 24-hour days to get through every bit of that. That's a lot of information. That's just sitting there, ready for your perusal. In addition to that, there's 2,647 articles, bulletin articles, thought for the day, various articles on our website. You put all, what is that, 5,700 somethings on our website that you can go and feast upon every day. In other words, there's no reason for us to not be deepening our faith and our knowledge in the Word of God. What can we do to intertwine our faith? What can we do to help ourselves to become stronger together? We, like the sequoias, need each other. We need each other. And so as you begin to think about our relationship with each other, there is a reason that God added you to His church. Did you know that? There is a reason that God talks about the need for every member of His church. There's a need, there's a reason that God has a place for every member of His church. There's a reason the Bible teaches us that God pleads for His church to have a strong sense of unity within it. There is a reason. And as you go through this, you're thinking, what's the reason? Well, there's a lot of reasons. I'm not saying there's only one reason for this. But there's a reason that God emphasizes the togetherness of the church. He didn't add you to isolation when you became a Christian so that you could live in a bubble somewhere. He added you to His church so that you had brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage you and to strengthen you in your faith. There is a reason that God calls for the church to be first place. When Jesus says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," that's not a suggestion. That's what He wants from each and every single one of us. There's a reason that when God was developing the organizational structure that His church would have, there's a reason that God put shepherds, God put elders in place. It would be those men who would shepherd His church. Those men who would meet the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3, who would be spiritually mature men, who would look out at a congregation and say, here's what a congregation needs to grow in their faith. Here's what a congregation needs to grow in their knowledge. Here's what a congregation needs to deepen their roots. That's one of the responsibilities that elders have. And there's a reason that God gave us elders. I am thankful for the elders that we have in this church, for the deep devotion that they have to truth, and the deep love that they have for every single one of us, that we come to know this truth, that we deepen our roots inside of this truth. You don't become an elder just because it's a position of honor and prestige, and now you're the leaders of the church. That's not why you become an elder. Our elders are servants. We're serving the Lord and are trying in every way to find means by which we can be fed. The purpose of a shepherd is to tend to the flock, to feed the flock. I would like you to give your attention to one of our shepherds right now as he comes to talk to us, members of this congregation, to talk to us about what we can do together to grow in our faith and our knowledge. Richard, come and talk to us.
When you look in the 13th through the 19th chapters of John, You read of events that take place in a 24-hour time frame as Jesus was meeting with his closest disciples, those 12 men. And they were talking about things that were going to come, and those 12 men didn't completely understand exactly what it was that was about to take place, certainly not over the next 24 hours, and not over the next few weeks and days and months. Jesus was trying to talk to them about a new commandment. He was trying to talk to them about the Father. He was trying to talk to them about the Holy Spirit. And he washed their feet. He is preparing for them for a series of things that they just don't completely grasp. If you got a Bible, turn to John chapter 15. You know the scripture, you know it well, because one of the things that Jesus told his disciples, his closest friends, was that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now that's paraphrased a bit, and we're going to read it, John chapter 15, verses 10 through 13. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Every one of you here this morning loves the Lord. I believe that. If I didn't, or if you didn't, you wouldn't be here. And if I'm wrong about that, then shame on you, not shame on me. But I don't think I'm wrong. We gather here together to praise God the Father, to praise Jesus the Son. David mentioned Phil Sanders and the Search for the Lord's Way television program. A few Sundays ago, Phil made the statement, he said that the world wants Jesus, but the world does not want the Bible. Think about that, because sadly I fear that that's true, and I pray that that thinking does not infect the Lord's church. Sticking with John, and I don't think it's any great jumping of the dots or connecting of the dots for you to understand why I'm going to John this morning so many times. Because what was John the Apostle of? Love. And when we go to those three epistles that he wrote, that first John letter, he uses that word 44 times in that little short letter. We know about, again, how we shorten the concept, but that we as Christians are in the world, but not to be part of the world. And in 1 John chapter 2, he talks about that. Verse 15, John writes, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. And if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." Perhaps not for you, but for me. I can assure you that being in the world wears me out. It takes its toll. In the book of Job, God asked Satan where he had been. And he said, "Well, I've been walking to and fro upon the face of the earth." And you remember how Peter described him in 1 Peter, as Satan was doing that, walking to and fro across the earth. He said he was a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. It is not easy constantly being on guard for our souls. I like to think of it like this, and this is not original to me. I've used the example before in class. I've talked about my faith tank. You can measure it, you don't measure it in gallons or volts, but it's there. and it's the fuel that keeps me going on a daily basis. And if I have a particularly good day, maybe I don't use a whole lot of fuel out of that faith tank. But if I have a catastrophic day, I may empty it. Debbie and I just returned from seeing our oldest son. He lives in Arkansas, and it's 1,200 miles from our driveway to his. We stopped and fueled up the car on several occasions on that trip. And I imagine, like most of you, I did not wait until that fuel tank was completely bone dry before I started looking for the next place to fill up and top off the tank. Now, if you're a little older like me, you know that stopping on a road trip becomes more often than it used to be when you were younger. And if you're younger, you don't understand what it is that I'm talking about right this minute. That's okay, because you need that fuel, and you need to have a full tank, because you don't know what's coming around the next corner. You don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes down the road. You don't know what's over the next hill. We left Arkansas Wednesday morning, and it was going to be just another wonderful day of driving. And we had been driving about an hour and a half, and traffic came to a complete dead stop. And maybe it moved a mile or two an hour, and maybe we moved a few yards, and then it stopped again. And I rolled the windows down, and oh, that didn't work. It was way too hot for that. It becomes very clear at that particular point why you left home with a full tank of gas. Because you don't know what's around that next corner. And our faith tank works much the same way. We constantly need to refill it. We constantly need to recharge it. We had a men's power up Saturday a couple of months ago. And on that day, David had a graphic that was shown on the screen after each speaker spoke. And it was a battery. And that battery started out at 20% full, and it went to 40 and 60 and 80 and then 100% full as we listened to each one of those speakers. It was a wonderful day. And my battery was charged when I left there. What else can I do to keep that battery charged? And there's a whole list of things that have been on the screen all morning long. You know, some of them I can do by myself. Some of them I cannot. I obviously can read Scripture every day, and I can pray every day. I can do it with Debbie. I can do it by myself. I can do it in the mornings. I can do it in the evenings. Sometimes I can take a quick break at work and say a quick prayer and read a short Scripture. I mean, if I've got time to check on my Words with Friends game, I've probably got time to say a quick prayer. And I'm speaking hypothetically, you understand, about that Words with Friends stuff, because my boss is here in the auditorium. But you know what? The funny thing about that fuel tank is, it's not properties like gasoline or electricity. The more you fuel up, the more you want to fuel up. And the more you fuel up, the bigger the tank becomes in order to take in that extra fuel that you're wanting to put in it. I don't want to just stop at prayer and reading. I long for the fellowship of my brothers and my sisters at Bible class. I can't wait to sing praises to God, to hear a lesson from Scripture. More faith is a good thing. More God is a good thing. More love of my Christian brothers and sisters is a good thing. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but there is a Christian sister here who sits over there close to my neck of the woods. And I get a hug from her every Sunday morning, most of the time too. One when I see her when she gets here, or whoever gets here first sees the other one. And another one as we're going home. And I get to repeat that on Sunday night, and I get to repeat it on Wednesday night. And I want to tell you something. It means the world to me. I can't get by without it. Why would I want to be anywhere else? Go back to John chapter 15, please. I stopped at verse 12. I want to read verses 13 through 15. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friend. This is Jesus, again, talking to his disciples. He's telling them what Phil Sanders talked about, that the world wants Jesus, but it doesn't want the Bible. The world is going to stand in the way of you being a Christian. It is difficult for me to reconcile in my mind, how I can show indifference to Bible classes and to worship service and Wednesday night prayer without showing disrespect for the sacrifice our Lord and Savior Jesus made for us. And up until that last sentence, some of you may have been saying, "Preach on, brother." And then I probably went too far and I stepped on a toe, or maybe I got too personal. Do you know what keeps an elder up at night? Hebrews 13:17 keeps an elder up at night. "For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account." Several decades ago, this eldership, long before I was a part of it, made decisions about worship times and other things in Bible classes and so on and so forth that were conducive to you going to heaven and to me going to heaven. Brothers and sisters, I will not apologize for loving every single one of you and wanting to see you in heaven. And I will not apologize for stressing the importance of anything that makes the path easier for you and for me. In the 13th chapter of John, there was a new commandment. Do you remember that commandment? That you love one another as I have loved you. That's Jesus talking. "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And everything I've said this morning is out of love. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this church. Thank you so much for your Son. Dear Heavenly Father, strengthen our faith. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, as we go throughout the days and the weeks, show our love for you by abiding in your commands. Help us love one another and depend upon each other. Help us fill our hearts with your word. Help us press on. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for our shepherds and how much they love us and want us to grow. Brother and sister in Christ, as we think about this month, let's not just make it about this month. But may I encourage you to challenge yourself that you will deepen your roots more than you ever have before. May I encourage you this day to make this a priority. Make this a priority for yourself. That I'm going to study. I'm going to get inside God's Word. I'm going to utilize these resources we've talked about today. I'm going to be here every time I can. The doors are open and feed my faith. May I encourage you today to heed the chief shepherd who watches for your soul. May I encourage you to heed our shepherds as they watch for our souls. And may we do all of this together. Great thing to be a Christian. And I'm so thankful that God did not save us and put us in isolation someplace in a bubble, that He saved us and put us into His church. And I'm thankful for Palm Beach Lakes. Where are you today in your walk with the Lord? Are you a Christian? Or are you a New Testament Christian? Are you a child of God in the way that the Bible says to become a child of God? Have you followed the steps that God wants us to follow in His New Testament, that we might become one of His? The Bible simply says that we need to believe that Jesus is God's Son. And with that faith in our hearts, to make up our minds that we want to stop doing what's wrong and start doing what's right. We want to repent, turn away from sin, and turn our lives in the direction of God, to confess the faith that's in our heart, and to do just as every single one of those stories in the New Testament tells us that somebody did in order to become a Christian, to be baptized, to be immersed into Christ. There's no other way to get into Christ than to be baptized into Christ, and at that very moment, not before, at that very moment, to have our sins washed away, to be added to His church, to be registered in heaven. If you've never done that before, we plead with you to do it this day. And then God calls upon all of us as His children to walk faithfully with Him, deepening our faith, doing all that we can to serve Him for the rest of our lives. The song we're going to sing says, "Come home." If you need to do that today, we invite you right now as together we stand and sing.